Welcome to Hope Found. This is a podcast about doing life with God. I found hope in the one and only true God through my salvation in Jesus. And I want to share my journey with God via the scriptures and personal interactions. Many of the podcasts will have a study of scriptures, and others will contain interviews with other people and their stories finding hope in God. Hello and welcome back. We are so glad that you decided to join us today. I'm Hope, of course, and my husband John is here as always. He's so faithful.
It's nice that I show up, isn't it?
It is, because if you didn't, I would just be talking in a room alone.
Yes, you would.
And not being
What's
recorded.
New?
And that voice right there is Jay. He is back for a second time. Bravo.
Thanks for having me back.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, we keep having like repeat guests now. So
yes, that's true.
It's like the last episode, we had my mom.
Yep.
Now we have Jay, number two. So
being on the podcast really boosted my involvement on social media. So I got to come back.
Yeah, just gotta come back. Yeah. And we have a new studio just down the hall from where we recorded before.
Yeah.
Woo. 700 square feet.
If you use your imagination, close your eyes and then it's that big.
If you're counting the walls and everything as floor.
Yes. Including the ceiling.
Right. Right. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. So this is our third episode in season two.
Yes.
The first two episodes we recorded at people's houses. Mm-hmm. So now here, episode three, we're finally back to the studio at our house. And Jay, isn't it kind of interesting that our studio is a very familiar space to you?
Yes, this is where I spent 7 or 8 years of my life in this very room.
Right. And now you're growing up and you moved out and adulting and all that fun stuff. And
Jay became a big boy and we got a
studio.
Took
advantage of it. You're welcome.
We did leave it empty for a little bit.
Yeah.
Just in case
like
you came back.
2-3 hours-ish before the planning
started.
And we
still have a bed for you if you want to.
The planning started before you left.
That's very true. I mentioned it and he said, I'm all for it. I can have a studio in the same breath.
I mean, I was planning it for the room downstairs when we first moved into this house.
Oh.
But then your sister decided to move here.
And never left.
So,
hey, listen, I loved having her.
So,
here,
you know.
This worked.
Yeah, perfect. Absolutely. So
you loved having her, so you got rid of me instead.
Did not get rid of you. You left voluntarily.
That's true.
It was your choice.
That's
you,
very true.
You shocked us.
Yeah, but I shocked myself.
But we did take advantage of it, so here we are in the new studio.
Yes, but we welcomed you back,
as
always.
Yeah.
Like, that's why you said that at the beginning. Welcome back, Jay.
That's right.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
To the house and to the podcast.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right. So if this is the first time you've been joining us, we are kind of right in the middle of a series about our identity. So I just wanted to rehash just a little bit. The very first episode was actually episode 20, which was the last one in the first season. And we basically talked a lot about what to not find your identity in, because I feel like it's very important to know what to not find your identity in, because so many people do. So I just wanted to just go over it real quick. We cannot look to other people for our identity, because people are flawed and they will just give you bad info pretty much all the time. You can't depend on that. You know, you make them mad and then they're going to just decide that you're a horrible person instead of the great person they thought you were a second ago.
You end up with a bad identity.
Yes. So you just don't look to other people, which is kind of one of the prime places that middle schoolers in that adolescent age, they look to other people to tell them who they are. And it's just very dangerous. So you definitely can't do that. We are not what we do. If you're a parent, a student, career, even in ministry, you cannot find your identity in being a pastor or being a mom or being a student or being an electrician the way Jay is. You can't find your identity in that, because it's not a forever thing. Those things can end. Many times they do. You retire, any variety of different situations. So you can't find your identity in those things, which many, many people do. It's a dangerous thing to do, because if all of a sudden you're not in that place, you know, maybe you're a parent and you lose your only child and all of a sudden you're not a parent anymore. I've seen so many situations where parents get divorced, where they just, you know, it's just not a good idea. You are not what you've done, your good or bad choices. You are not your diagnosis. Whether you deal with a disease, if you find out that you have a disease, that is not who you are. You are not diabetes. You might have to deal with it, but that is not your identity. And you're also not your choices. So that's just a brief overview. And then we talked about how I am known and I am loved. So I do encourage you to go back and to listen to those. They do kind of build on each other and highlight different areas. And I think it's just really important. I think it can change the whole way that you look at yourself, the way that you look at other people and your whole life and how you deal with things, knowing your identity. So today's going to be a little bit different because, you know, knowing that I'm known and I'm loved are probably more common ways of thinking about identity. Today's going to be a little bit different. But first, I want to talk about family trees. So what do you think of when I say family trees?
I think the thing that I would think of first would just be all the people that are in your family before you and even after you once there's people after you. Yeah. Basic answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think about all the crazy people in my extended family. That's what I think of.
The people who stay on the family tree, and that's it.
I think that, I think the tree can be a little wonky sometimes.
A little one-sided.
Just a lot of crazies. No. Yeah. I guess every family is full of crazies.
Yeah, in their own way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I also think about, you know, if you had a project at school.
Mm-hmm.
Where you had to, like, you know, I can remember the kids coming home going, okay, I know grandma and grandpa and maybe like one of the great grandma, grandpas, and what's before them? You know, who's before them and what are their names? And John is amazing at, you know, he does have a very, very large extended family, especially, well, actually on both sides, but definitely on mom's side. But he's exceptional at remembering who goes with who and which way and the whole tree. Me, yeah. I'm like, let me go access a book that
it's a picture book somewhere. Yeah.
That somebody like, there's a website for that.
Yes.
23andMe.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I mean, it's funny because the kids, even still to this day, there'll be people that we run into or people that we see that that I know I've explained before.
Right.
Like, how is that person related to us? And it's like, but they just ask the question again because they don't retain the answer.
No.
They're like, they're who? What?
So-and-so's wife, sister's third cousin's daughter.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, I mean, I was thinking about, you know, those school projects and different things like that. And you know, you're born into it. You don't have a choice as far as who your parents are.
Yeah.
And you don't have a choice as far as who your kids are. This is the natural place of how you're born. And, you know, of course, God knows what he's doing. But we don't really have, you know, this just it just happens the way that it happens. Now, I might be going out on a limb here.
That was going out on a limb.
That was hilarious.
She used a tree pun.
I did. My little bit of my dad jokes are coming out. We call them mom jokes in our house because I'm the one who usually says them. But yes, it's a little bit out of the box. But today we want to talk about our identity as a branch. So I am a branch. Now, some of you might be thinking, I know exactly where she's going. I've heard this before. But I encourage you to stick around.
There it is again.
Oh my goodness.
It's even spelled the same. That's
it, guys. I think. It might some more.
It's been a long day, hasn't it? It's been wow.
It's a Monday.
It's been Monday. A long day. Yes.
You might learn a little something new. So just hang out with us, have some fun. You might learn something a little bit. Can I make another one?
Oh. See, like on a tree swing.
Didn't even mean that one. Look at there.
We're very tired, swing. Okay, I'm done.
Jay has my same humor.
Bunch of wackos.
Yeah, we can go on for a while. Okay, so tell me, what is the job of a branch?
I think that if we're talking literally,
yes, literally,
it's, yeah, literally, it's to extend from the trunk if it's a tree, extend from the trunk mm-hmm. and to produce, you know, leaves to then produce leaves to, you know, bring to bring sunlight and different stuff to the tree that helps mm-hmm. it grow. So mm-hmm. they come out and produce different things in order to help the tree grow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. How about you?
It's a place where the birds can build their nest.
That too.
That's true. That's true. That's where birds build their nests.
It's the tree's job to hold the bird nest.
It is. Yes. Those things do involve branches. And holding up the bird's nest, absolutely. Maintaining the leaves so that the tree can have the nutrients that it needs. But one of the main jobs of the branch is to stay connected to the tree. It's really important that the branch stays connected, because if it doesn't stay connected, it can't do any of those other things.
Right. It's useless.
Know? Right. It can't, because even if there are leaves on there, the leaves will wither mm-hmm. and die if it doesn't stay connected, if it doesn't have a good connection to the tree, and eventually will fall off and be not even good for birds unless True. They want to make it on the ground.
True.
So, yes, that is the main reason, and also the nutrients, which you brought up, Jay. So, can a branch produce fruit on its own?
No. No, it cannot. It needs to be attached to the tree in order to make fruit.
This is true. Good job.
Thank you.
Yes, yeah.
I learned that in biology
science.
First grade.
First grade. You were learning about environments, so that's, yes. Yeah, that's probably true. You're right. It cannot produce it on its own. It needs to stay connected to the tree. It's not the branch's job to produce fruit.
Mm-hmm. It's the messenger. It just does it. It's like, I don't know what's going on, but it's happening.
Something's happening. So let's see. The fruit and the leaves are actually a byproduct of the branch choosing to stay connected to the tree. It's just what happens. Mm-hmm. Whenever it stays connected. So spiritually, we are born into sin. Sin leads to death. So, as dark as it sounds, we are born dead branches.
Yep.
We are.
Thanks, Adam and Eve.
Yeah. Well, if they didn't do it somewhere along the road, somebody would have done it. So we're born dead branches, which is dark. I get it. But because we're not connected the way that we are intended to be connected. So let's look at John 15:1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, this is Jesus talking. So Jesus is referring to himself as the vine. We can also kind of look at that as the tree also. And it says God is the vine dresser. So that is making God the Father, the gardener, or the vine dresser. And then in the preceding verses, it will talk about us as branches. Let's just go ahead and read verse 2. John 15:2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And then let's jump down to verse 6. This is John 15:6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So let's just talk for a minute. I know that we've talked about this a long time ago, but let's kind of go over it again. So the word abide means to, what do you take that as?
To abide in something is to like be a part of something. Or like,
to live in it.
To live, yeah.
It's to a constant it. Thing. Yeah. It's a living in, it's being joined to. So we obviously have an option to choose to abide in Jesus or to not abide in Jesus. There are three different situations that the branch can be in these verses. So the branch that does not bear fruit is taken away in verse 2. And I mean, many times, I don't know if you recall us talking about this, but what does that mean to you if it's taken away?
I think in the literal sense, if it's taken away, it's just like removed from the mm-hmm. branch, because, you know, if a tree has a dead branch, it's not helping. If anything, it's hurting. I think in more of like the spiritual aspect is, if you're not like, you know, it's harder for God to use you. Well, not harder. He could do it anyways. Mm-hmm. He still does use you. But if you're not, you know, producing the fruits that God is wanting you to, in this sense here, it's kind of like removing you. It's hard to for you to produce fruit if you're not mm-hmm. willing to stay connected to God, right, or Jesus in the situation, who's like the branch.
Right.
Not the branch.
Who's the tree.
The tree. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And for years and years and years, and probably many people who are out there still, because in the English language, when you hear taken away, it means to remove.
Right.
To be taken away from a situation, to be removed from a situation. However, that actually has a different meaning here. Because when you're talking about a vine dresser, whenever there is a branch, let's just say if we're actually looking at in a vineyard and we're looking at a vine, and sometimes branches can get buried underneath other, or the vines can get buried underneath other vines. Mm-hmm. And the vine dresser will go through and he'll pull back the ones that are bearing fruit and expose the ones who are not, but they're still connected. Mm-hmm. They're still connected. They're choosing to be connected, but they're just not bearing fruit mm-hmm. because they don't have what they need. So what he does is what's called taking it away. And what that means is pulling it out, lifting it up. Sometimes he'll use another kind of stick or something to prop it up so that it can be exposed to the sun and get the water that it needs.
That's good. That's a whole different meaning. I didn't even know about.
Totally different. Because forever it sounded like, oh, if I'm not producing fruit, God's just going to throw me away.
Right.
Right? Because that's what it feels like. That's what it looks like. And for the longest time, until I really looked into it, that, you know, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
But if you're staying connected, if you choose to stay connected, even if you're going through a hard time, you're facing some different things or whatever, as long as a branch, you're choosing to stay connected in God or in Jesus as the tree, he will help you. He knows when we're not producing, and he will get you the things that you need in order to do it. Mm. And so I think it's a really cool thing to realize that he's actually going to prop you up, bring you the things that you need to nurture you and to get you to a place where you can bear fruit. And let's see. The next part is, if you are bearing fruit, in verse 2, it talks about how God prunes you. So it's really important to be pruned. So you think, well, you know, I'm bearing fruit. Why you got to cut stuff out? You know, mm-hmm. like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do and I'm producing fruit and what, you know. Well, you know, there's different times you go through different seasons that maybe certain things that were okay in this season, you don't really need in this season. Mm-hmm. Or, and God's like, you know, cut it away. Or, you know, a lot of times when God works with us, it's like layers of an onion, you know, we're good. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, okay, let's work on this little thing. And you never really realized it before, but it's there, you know? And so it's that pruning process. And it's important to prune, because if the part that's not useful to the tree, like, you know, the tip of the branch that's not useful to the tree isn't cut off, it actually will use up nutrients and not produce anything and actually pull away from the other part of the branch that is producing.
Right.
So it's important to be pruned even when everything is going well and you're producing the fruit and everything. So it's an important thing to do. So then in verse 6, it talks about how those who do not abide in me, the ones who are choosing to not stay connected, will be cast out, withered, gathered, and burned. And that's the difference in between the taken away. Right. God's not going to just remove you and throw you out if you're not bearing fruit. Mm-hmm. But if you choose to not stay connected, to not be abiding in Jesus, you're disconnecting yourself. And eventually that's what happens.
Right.
It withers up and gets burned. So what do we as branches need to abide or live in continual connection with Jesus? What do you think that looks like?
I think that there's the Christian answer, and, you know, to pray, read the Bible, mm-hmm. and and go to church. And I think that those are all good things for sure. And they're part of that answer. I think that another one that sometimes gets looked over or ignored a little bit is like showing God's love in everything you do kind of thing. You know, like you can pray and read your Bible, but if you're not like showing God's love in your day to day, even if like you work in a secular job or something like that, like it can cause disconnect even if you don't mean for it to, because, you know, you're not doing the full, you know, I'm going to church, I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying, like that's all great, but like living for the Lord, even away from your personal time, can definitely be a part in abiding in him as well and staying connected.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because if we truly are staying connected, that fruit will grow.
Right.
And that fruit is meant for us, but it's also meant for others. And so when we grow in that love with God and staying that connected with Jesus, and he makes us more like him, we can't help but to love other people.
Right.
Now, we might need to be intentional and step outside of our comfort zones, but we have that desire there. We have that ability. We have that compassion for other people.
Yeah.
That you're right. That should be a natural flow. And so maybe the actual doing part of it isn't so much natural until you get kind of used to it. But knowing that that is expected, that's actually a part of the fruit, that's a part of us growing and showing that, you know, you're right. That's a really good point. Excellent. Anything from you?
No, I'm just listening. You guys are doing good.
Thank you.
Anything else? That
just thinking, you need to be good fruit. You want to bear good fruit.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, not bad fruit,
but that can happen.
Yeah,
bad fruit grows.
Yeah, that's true.
Or fruit that doesn't taste like anything.
Lukewarm
it's Christian. Like, look, I got fruit, but it's blah,
right?
It's like some of them oranges we get sometimes, they just don't taste like nothing.
Yeah. I know, I don't know how that happens. We live in Florida.
How they bear bad fruit. They're not connected to the right thing.
They're not connected all the way.
That's a good point. You should expand on that.
Yeah, that's all I got right now. So don't ask me to expand. But that's what I was thinking about when you were talking.
Yeah, that's good.
No, but I think going off of what he said, like if you can be purposeful in like showing God's love, but if you're showing it in the wrong way, you can give somebody the wrong interpretation, which can lead to bad fruit being grown in them, because you know, what they're getting from you is incorrect or wrong or not fully true, or you know, you were preached the wrong message, or it was skewed in the wrong way. And so like you're doing everything you can thinking it's right, but like it might have been wrong fruit that was, you know, sown into you. So now you're trying to give it, or even just in yourself, like the fruit is blah, you know, it's not what it could be, because, you know, the way in which it got presented to you was not 100%.
Yeah. And I think best way to prevent that is to fact check.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to the word, you check it against the word, whatever you hear, especially listen to social media and those little reels. It sounds really good, man. That sounds so good. And that sounds so like God, you know, but man, you better make sure that that's in the word before you really start clinging to that and then repeating it to your friends.
Right.
Yeah.
And absolutely. I guess too, when I'm thinking about the bad fruit thing, if you're connected to the wrong source, you're connected to a source.
That's true.
You know, it's kind of like that if you think about it. So here's your tree, and you're this branch, and the water source that you're connected to is contaminated. You know, it's like it's got bad stuff in it. So what you're going to bear is bad stuff, because that's what you're being fed.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. What are you feeding yourself?
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As I'm saying, connected to a bad source.
Yeah. Because even if, okay, you know, I believe in Jesus and I do read the Bible on occasion and I talk to him and, you know, and.
Right.
But yet, you know, you're feeding yourself all kinds of things, social media wise, movies, whatever, that just are not promoting that.
Right.
The good stuff. So, yeah.
Even the friend, your people you're deciding to hang out with, you know.
People
who have a lot of influence, you know, they can,
yeah,
they can be a bad source.
Or that's even like trusting a pastor that's not 100% on the same page as different things.
As God.
Right.
That's, like, God. That's a good way to put it.
I mean, sometimes, whether they mean to or not, they're spreading the wrong gospel and you don't fact check them. It's like you're finding your source in something that's not true, and it can lead to stuff. I mean, you don't intentionally know it, but if you don't fact check, if you don't go to the source personally yourself to make sure it's the right source, it can lead to bad stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. Let's look at John 15:4-5. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So we talked a little bit about how we can stay connected to Jesus. I think that definitely spending that intimate time with him too, you know, so many times we just get on a roll, you know, oh, I have all these things on my mind. I want to pray about all these things. I want to pray about all these things. And I found myself doing that the other day. I don't really so much function off of lists, but I just felt like person
wait.
No, spiritually. Okay. Spiritually.
I was like,
and in the natural, I will admit this, in the natural, I am very much a list person. I am a scheduled person.
Write it
I
down, like put yes. it in your phone.
Yes.
I hear that daily.
I like my
check it off.
Yep.
I like my lists because they help me to remember things. I like a routine. I am very routine in the natural. Mm-hmm. However, spiritually, I am not at all. Yeah. I am a completely different person when it comes.
Free flow.
Yes. When it comes to spending time with God, I don't restrict myself in any way. Like, I don't know. That's just how I've always been. Yeah. So, you know, but I found myself kind of like person after person was kind of coming to my mind the one morning. And so I'm just praying for this person and praying. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden I kind of stopped and I'm like, you know about all these things. Mm-hmm. I just want to be with you.
Right.
You know?
And that was something I heard the other day. I don't remember where I heard it from. It was something online. So take it with a grain of salt. No, I'm just kidding. But it can be dangerous sometimes if, you know, oh, I pray every morning and stuff. But the term they used was drive-through prayers, where it's like you just drive through, drop off, or pick up what you need and leave. And you don't spend any time just being with him. Mm-hmm. Like, just like spending time and being with God. And sometimes I like to, like, I'm gonna pray, and then, like, I ended up, like, not actually saying anything, and I'm just there for, like, you know, 5-10 minutes, and I just am there just thinking about God and just, you know. So I think that, like, that is just as important as, you know, oh, I'll pray for you, you know, like, I hope that you aren't sick anymore or whatever, whatever. Like, for as much as that's important to ask God, because he wants us to invite him, but right. It's also just important that it's not, like, a drive-through prayer where you just are in and out, and you know, you're like, I need help with this. And he's like, okay, cool. Like, how you been? But then by the time he says that, you're gone, you know? And it's like, you know, like he doesn't want that. He wants you as much as he wants your request. Right. Like, he wants you too.
Right. Yeah. To stop and listen.
Right.
And then to just be.
Right.
You know, I think that we really need to relate our relationship with God with our relationship with close friends.
Yeah.
Whether it's a spouse or a good friend. You know, many times if you go to a movie, you're not necessarily talking, you're just chilling together.
Right.
And many times that's what God wants to do.
Right.
Sometimes he wants to talk to you and he wants to tell you things, which is always amazing and great. But sometimes he just wants to chill with you.
Right.
Sometimes he just wants to just be together, you know? And I think that if we can kind of think of it that way, you know, in your personal relationships, your close, you know, friends and everything, like, what do you do with them?
Right.
You know, and
go ahead. Like even this past weekend, I had some friends over my apartment, and there was a couple moments when, you know, we got home from, we went to Universal. So we got home from Universal and we just all sat on the couch and we were just on our phones for like, you know, 15, 20 minutes. And it's like, when you think about it, somebody might be like, well, that's weird. Like, you guys are just sitting, whatever. But it's like, even just being around people that you love, that you enjoy, just is so much more than, like, we always need to be doing something all the time. It's like just knowing and, like, having them around, like, that quality time with them just, like, grows your relationship so much, because it's like, we don't have to be doing something in order to be friends.
Right.
Like, we are able to be friends and just live lives separately together.
Right.
You know?
Right. I do want to kind of, you shouldn't think that you're spending time with God on your phone.
No.
No, I know what you're saying. I just want to clarify.
Right.
You're like, oh yeah, I'm spending time with God. Yeah, I'm just checking my real.
You can do that with friends, not with
God. You're like, isn't God on Instagram?
Well, I read a lot of verses.
Right.
I hope that they're right. Right. They look pretty.
Right.
Pretty flowers. So in the verses that we were just reading, it talks about how we can do nothing outside of God. Mm-hmm. And of course, can we do things? Yes.
Physically.
We can do things. We can even be kind. We can even give money to, you know, a homeless person or whatever. We can do things, but the things that I believe that God's talking about in here is doing the things that have eternal value. Mm-hmm. We can do nothing of true eternal value outside of him. We need to stay that connected so that we can do all of the things that are really important, the things that are eternal.
Right.
So we talked a little bit about, as a branch, it's our job to abide in the tree. And the natural byproduct is the fruit. Now, it's not exclusively the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is definitely one of the fruits that are produced
right.
whenever we stay connected. I was thinking about a story about Jay, and it was about when he was a freshman in high school, and it was hard. It was new school, you know, being a high schooler, and yeah. I didn't really know, he wasn't really sharing a lot with me, but you know, I can expect that there's difficulties. And so for years and years, as long as I can remember, I usually get up early in the morning when everybody's still sleeping, because it's the best time for me to spend time with God. And at this point, we lived in a different home, and I was out in the living room, and it was nice and quiet and dark. And Jay came out, and I'm like, what are you doing? It's really early. Go back to sleep, you know? And no. And so he came on the couch right beside me, and he kind of curled up and fell asleep.
Yeah.
And he had done this a couple of days in a row. And finally I asked God, I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, I would think that his bed's more comfortable than curling up on the couch here. And,
right.
you know, what's going on? And, he said he's borrowing your peace. Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh. And so I was like, all right. So then in the next couple of days, in the daytime, I had a discussion with Jay, and I said, you know, this is the conversation I had with God. And
yeah.
And he agreed. He understood. Like, it just was. And I know that I'm mom, but at the same time, I think that it was the atmosphere of me spending time with God.
Yeah.
That you were coming out and you just were able to just fall right back asleep. You were telling me that you were having a hard time going back to sleep at night. You were having a hard time going to sleep, and that it was mainly school. Mm-hmm. That was the gist of everything. And so I had shared with Jay that he could do the same thing. I said, I don't mind you borrowing my piece, but you can generate your own.
Yeah. Right.
By, you know, spending time with God and all of those things. And then he started coming and sitting with me pretty much every school morning. He would come out and bring out his Bible and devotional, and he would read and pray and just, you know,
yeah,
really got a hold of that and figured out how to navigate the rest of the year by doing that. And I thought that that was a really cool thing. You remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I think that before we had that conversation, I don't really know. Like, I remember not knowing why I did it, but just knowing that it worked and that it was nice to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't think I knew what exactly you were doing. I think that I had an idea that it was something, you know, praying or something along those mm-hmm. lines, but I wasn't entirely sure. It really was just one of those things where I was like, I realized that you were out there. And when I went out there, I fell asleep quick. And so I was like, I like this. And so when you brought up the the, you know, you can actually experience this piece on your own. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can like sleep in my bed all night. Like that's cool, you know? so yeah. And I had a devotional that I think maybe one of my grandmas gave me at the time, and had rarely cracked it open up until that point. So like just getting into that, I remember at an early age was just like, you know, I would do it and not really like at the start, I never really felt like I was like, I would do it. And I'm like, okay, like, yeah. I don't feel like a superhero. Like what's going on? Like I thought I was going to, you know, fly after.
It was going to be like a magic button.
Right. But you know, after a while, like I realized that like my day-to-day life was like getting easier. Like I was like, something like this would have happened 2 months ago and it would have been really difficult, but it isn't difficult anymore. And soon enough, I put two and two together and realized that it was because I was spending time with God. And, mm-hmm. and I was like, I don't want to lose that. I want to keep doing that. And, you know, since then I've been on and off with, you know, the consistency, but that's with everyone, you know, when you realize that you're, you know, slipping off, you gotta, you know, get back on. Mm-hmm. But every time that I get back on, I can tell a difference, you know, I can mm-hmm. feel and, you know, God's with me. Not that he's with me less when I don't, but mm-hmm. like, I feel his presence so much more, like even when I just take some time just to do that. So, you know, having that peace just by abiding in him and, mm-hmm. and spending time with him and stuff, you know, it really does make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like the fact that you had mentioned that, you know, I was waiting for some magical thing to happen or,
right,
you know,
right.
to start flying or, you know, because I think there's many times that when we choose to set aside that time and we're consistent in it, that we can even feel like it's almost like what Christians would call a dry season,
right,
you know?
Right.
But I've experienced where it's just like, okay, you know, I know that you're here and we're spending time together and I'm reading and we're talking and, you know, it doesn't feel like there's a whole lot happening.
Yeah.
But after, you know, a certain period of time of just being consistent and being faithful in doing that, not even the extended period of time, you know,
yeah.
but then all of a sudden in the middle of some situation or some conversation or whatever, like it's just like, whew,
right.
you know, like whatever's needed is like whatever I need, whatever is needed to be said in this, like, you could just tell the influence. And it's because you've chosen to invest that time,
right.
to be consistent, to spend that time with him. It doesn't mean that in that moment. Now, sometimes it can be amazing. Sometimes right. it's right. like, wow.
You
like,
get chills. And
whoa,
you can feel,
man, God, I really needed that, you know. And so sometimes that can happen, but you can't expect it every single time.
Right.
Because you just can't. Because it's not going to. I can almost promise you that it's probably not going to happen every time.
Right.
But having that consistency. And then when you look back and you're like, wow, I, like you said, if that would have happened to me 2 months ago, I would have really freaked out.
Right.
But now I'm like, okay, God, I trust you.
Right.
Because you have been consistent. Yeah, that's a really good point, because a lot of times people get very discouraged. They think they're doing something wrong or this isn't working, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's a really good point. So ever since that time, how do you feel? I mean, you've said like it was on and off a little bit.
Yeah.
But how do you feel like you've grown from that as a branch?
As a branch. As a branch, I think. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I think that that once you experience it once, like you always, there's always a part of you that wants it and like mm-hmm. wishes that you could just be there all the time, you know.
Yeah.
You know, even when you're in the quote unquote dry seasons, you know, like mm-hmm. you feel like you're doing it, but you're not really getting anything. And you're like, well, if I just miss one day, it should be fine. You know, it's like the more you do it, the more you realize that like, even if I don't feel like it today, I need to still do it, you know?
Yeah.
And, it's almost like a not feeling guilty, but when you don't do it, like, you know, there's a slight conviction there where you're like, oh, I didn't do it. But you can't stay in that naturally.
Right,
but
right.
you have to, you know, just take it as, you know, God wants to be with me as much as I want to be with him. You know,
right.
like there's a reason I feel like this, because he's like, I missed you. You know,
yeah,
like, you
yeah.
know, I wanted to spend time with you today and you didn't get a chance. So I just think that there's a lot that comes from it, that when you do decide to, you know, be consistent and stick with it, even when you don't feel anything, that you get so much from it, mm-hmm. you know, and I know that I have So yeah. And
like fruit.
Right. I have apples everywhere. So many apples. No, but you really do feel the fruits just being present in your life, and you know, patience is a big one. but you know, and just in being kind in times when you don't want to be in different stuff, like like when you are away from God for a period of time, like you kind of feel like a different person when certain stuff happens, and you know, you might go off at somebody at work and you know, you're like, well, that's not me. Like, where did that come from? Oh, I haven't opened my Bible in a week. You know, like maybe I should, you know. Yeah. So I think that just growing from that perspective where I can tell when I need to and when I haven't been and how that's different and when I need to and when I need to a little bit more.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's kind of like how I feel like it's gone since then.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's what I kind of feel like when I'm outside Jesus.
Right.
Like, you don't want to know me outside Jesus. I was sharing with some ladies a little while ago. I'm like, yeah, you know, when I was a teenager, I was the mean girl. And they were like, no. I'm like, oh, yeah, I was. I said, outside of Jesus, I was a pretty ugly person.
Yeah. Everybody has a BC.
Yeah. Yes, this is true. And we kind of slip a little bit if it's been a minute.
Right.
You know, and it's kind of like, ooh, it's a little ugly. Okay, let's pull it back and refocus. So I want to encourage all of you out there, as your identity as a branch, what kind of branch are you going to be? Are you going to choose to abide in God? Are you going to allow the Father to cut off the things that don't belong? Are you going to welcome God, the master gardener, to lift you up and to get you what you need in order to produce fruit? I really hope so. I don't want to see any dead branches out there. I want all of us to be connected to Jesus and be a part of the tree and be thriving and growing together.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining us, Jay, and sharing your story.
And, of course.
And again, really appreciate that. And thank you, John, also for being here and doing the magic that you do over there.
And, producer John.
Just get branchy.
Get branchy.
Get branchy.
And if people hate you for it, then they don't deserve you. That's the second part of the chapter in John. Okay. We can talk about that later.
That's awesome. All right, guys. So until next time, continue believing and hoping in the one and only true God. And we will see you then.